to big business conferences and pull off pranks. That's The Yes Men Fix the World, November 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm/yesmen2013.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help co-sponsor the Triangle production of American Fiesta, starring Gary Wayne Cash, a witty, hopeful tale of imperfection and acceptance. American Fiesta will take place at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. This Triangle production will run from November 29th through December 22nd. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm Joseph Gallivan, and this is Art Focus.
You're listening to KBOO in Portland. It's about 11:30 a.m. And coming up on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Camden Murray of the Timbers Army about TIFO displays at Portland Timbers soccer matches. And why don't I just tell you while I'm here that this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon College of Art and Crafts Studio School, offering classes and workshops for adults in book arts, ceramics, drawing and painting, fibers, metals, photography, and wood. www.ocac.edu/register.
I'm Joseph Gallivan, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. This week our guest is Camden Murray. He's a member of the Timbers Army and one of the regular designers of TIFO, that is fan displays and large banners at Portland Timbers Major League Soccer games. Welcome, Cam. It's lovely to have you here at KBOO.
Thanks for having me.
First, we should just define what TIFO means. I think of it as large displays, super-sized banners that fans often pass over their heads. You see them all over the world. Or big banners that here we raise to the ceiling and other things, streamers. How do you see the word TIFO?
TIFO has almost become a mindset. It started in Italy to define the rabid fans who started creating these displays, and it's kind of grown to encompass all of that from smoke, flares, confetti, streamers, banners, all of that. They're all their own separate thing, and kind of together, what you see at the beginning of a match is usually called the TIFO display.
And TIFO comes from typhoid.
I believe so. It's to describe the rabid fans in Italy. It's from an Italian word for typhoid.
Right. So here in Portland, I mean, Portland Timbers are known for their TIFOs. Just the other night, right, we had this game against Seattle, the third time we beat them in 3 weeks. It was just an epic occasion, and it was the third TIFO in 3 weeks. Tell us, what did we see at the game against Seattle at Geldwin Field on the 7th of November?
So it was a combination of large-scale banners, pole banners on large PVC, and smoke, and cards, which are table rolls cut. And altogether, the motif was a Orko from He-Man, little magician, and the message was that the team's magic was real, which is a callback to an old display from the USL era of "We believe in you, your magic is real."
You know, I saw it and I thought, "Who's that little character?" I had no idea. This is from a TV cartoon.
Yeah, from the '80s, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and I think also She-Ra. I think might have been featured on.
So it was a giant banner. First, it was two banners, a black and white, "We believe in you," and then "The magic is real," or "Your magic is real."
Yeah, "The magic is real."
"The magic is real." They were side by side, and then between them...
"This magic is real," excuse me, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
And then between them, a big banner in green and yellow came up with this little character, Orko, and it said something on that.
That was "This magic is real," was on the Orko banner.
Who do you think would understand that off the bat?
Maybe no one, and we're fine with that. I think it's the message that's most important. As long as there's some sort of graphic that lends itself to the message, we're happy with that. I think that the team and the stadium understanding the message and all being on the same page is what's most important.
So this was against Seattle, and, you know, aside from the soccer rivalry, there's the rivalry in actual TIFO between the two clubs.
Right.
What was their, you know, what was the message directed at them?
So they're very negative in TIFO and always kind of have been. They like to attack their opponents, and we're more into building up our team and our club and our community. And I think you saw that in the TIFO for the last match. They had the Welcome to Your Nightmare, which ended up backfiring on them horribly. And we always focus on team-centric things. And we've always sort of been the underdogs against Seattle. I think we kind of come from a mentality of it, when we draw, it's a win. And with Caleb Porter and this new club's mentality, we've kind of gotten away from that. And so we just wanted to tell them that the magic that they've been creating in the city is real, and to keep pushing forward with that message.
So the message was aimed at the management, really?
Yeah, the management and the team. You just want to let we always want to let the players on the field know what our feelings are around that match, whether it be, you know, a community-inspired thing, on the field, of play-inspired thing, a management-inspired thing. It's always just to relay the message of the fans to the players before the match starts.
Right. So their TIFO in Seattle in the first leg was kind of shiny green and blue.
Right.
You call them cards, right? But they're
we
plastic.
Use table rolls that's cut, yeah.
Okay. What were they using?
They might have been clear table rolls, yeah, or just plastic.
Okay.
Whatever.
And then
sheets.
Yeah. And that's thousands of people holding them up in a mosaic fashion. And then they had a banner in black and white that said, "Welcome to your nightmare." And then a face of a skull with a dead rose in the mouth, symbolizing them destroying the Timbers. And it backfired because they got beat, and they got beat again. What do you think? What were you thinking as you realized their TIFO had backfired, you know, after the game and in preparation for the next game? What were you thinking?
I think everyone in Portland was just... we're excited. I know that through the years, they've always directed TIFO at us because we've been the lesser team, and, you know, rightfully so. They have that right when they win matches to do that to us. So I think our direction of being always positive comes from the fact that our team hasn't always been good, because it's very hard to go out there and say, "Hey, we're the best, we're going to destroy you," and then you lose all the time. so we come from this mindset of we love our club no matter what, win, lose, or draw. And I think that you see that in TIFO now, where we know no matter what, going into the leg, whether we're up 3 goals or not, we're not going to try and stick it in their face. We're going to tell our club that we're behind them and go from that approach.
You know, TIFO is just a little thing at the beginning of a game. It only lasts for what, a minute?
So,
2 minutes?
As long as possible. I like to keep it up as long as possible. I'd say 2 minutes max, usually.
So it's at the end of the national anthem, which is my favorite part of MLS, is screaming the end of the national anthem, and then the TIFO goes up, only on special occasions, I should add, certain games. And then it's up for a couple of minutes, and then it's bundled away. And you obviously work, you and your team work really hard at it. Like, just tell us what goes into it. How do you make these giant banners?
So it depends on the exact layout of the display we're doing. There's all these different logistics and setup styles that we would use. A lot of the ones at the end of the season were large banner displays, which entails fabric, obviously, sometimes hundreds of gallons of paint. You need to put the art into Illustrator or whatever on a computer, and then usually that's projected onto the fabric and then traced. Sometimes parts of that are way too complex to be able to do, and we have to freehand that stuff. And then just to get the fabric big enough, you need people to sew whatever it is. It's usually like a sail fabric.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah. So and the large scale ones are massive, and you need, you know, 50 people sometimes to work on it. I mean, I would say the average TIFO display probably has anywhere from 50 to 100 people that work on it, that touch it throughout when mm-hmm. it goes. And then every single person in the stadium on match day kind of plays their part too, whether it's holding a card or singing or throwing a streamer or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So just tell me, you're in charge of designing something. There's one file in Illustrator. It's all put together. How do you project it?
So we have a digital projector that we need to, lately we've been hoisting it up on a crane and projecting downwards onto fabric. We used to project onto fabric on walls, which was another crazy logistical nightmare. I'd say the bigger every display gets, the more headaches you're going to run into. My group of friends, which are amazing and have been doing this stuff since, I don't know, 2008 maybe, like the larger scale displays probably started. And they're amazing. These are people that have been doing this for years now and know what they're doing. And we kind of have people with set roles that know how to get stuff done. And it just kind of works smoothly now. So,
mm-hmm. You project the entire thing.
We project, you project whatever space you can work in. So you might need to project the upper half and then you'll move to the next half and then the next half as you move the fabric along. It's usually dictated by the space we have in whichever mm-hmm. warehouse we can rent for the weekend.
Oh, okay. So I was going to ask, the money comes from the 107ist kind of dues, is
correct.
That right?
Correct. Everything that we sort of do goes to the 107ist is our nonprofit arm of the Timbers.
Yeah,
Army.
The Independent Supporters Trust. So what kind of budget are you working on for a big one?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'd say we don't really have a budget as long as we know that it's going to be good. Like, if the person that's in charge can guarantee that it's going to be good, we have the money to get it done.
Are we talking tens of thousands of dollars? Just thousands?
No, yeah, definitely in the tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, upwards of maybe, I don't know if we've hit hundreds of thousands before, but it gets up there. And it depends. I mean, fabric alone and paint alone can be really costly. And then you're also looking at other little supplies that you might need along the mm-hmm. way. And then the labor is all free, obviously. So yeah. that's good.
I should mention one of my favorite was the first game of the season this season.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the Morton Salt Girl with a soccer ball. Rain or Shine, I think, was the legend.
Yeah, Rain or Shine since 1975. We'll be there no matter what.
And then down the front, everyone, you know, not everyone, but there were hundreds of green and white golf umbrellas. And then behind them, people threw blue streamers down onto the umbrellas so it looked like rain. And I just thought it was kind of dramatic and it was three-dimensional. It was about Portland and it was everything. It was just beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that among the best TiVo in the league, you have to have a good message all the time. And I think that the fact that we always remain really club centric and city centric always mm-hmm. lends itself to that because Portland's such an awesome place.
Mm-hmm. And you let people keep the umbrellas at the end.
Yeah.
I've got one.
Yeah.
So one I remember at Seattle was the first MLS game for Portland in Seattle 2 seasons ago. And their thing was they had all these silky looking banners with their famous players' faces, and it kind of unfolded bit by bit in sections. It was animated, and I thought it was really good. And the final thing was this face, Roger Levesque, pops up, and it was kind of, he looked like the Joker, and it was like an insult. You know, it said 48 seconds. It was an insult about how he had scored against the Timbers so quickly in a previous game. And it looked very well choreographed and thought out. And it's a different aesthetic because everything looked sort of computery, you know, it was sort of very well made. What's the difference in aesthetic between Seattle and Portland's TIFOs?
It's hard to say. I think that, again, their message is very direct and usually negative in connotation towards the other team. And then aesthetically...
But that one wasn't.
No.
It was decades of dominance.
A little. Yeah, it's a little backhanded dig.
Yeah.
I think that they'll say that they were trying to celebrate their heroes or whatever, but obviously it was the end result was supposed to be a dig at us. Mm-hmm. I think they have the luxury of all that space. They have that large stadium, so they can you know, use that large overhang to throw those banners over, and they have the goalpost riggings to do those lifts. So they've got all of the space in the world to do what they want. I think that we're kind of forced to be creative in that old I mean, our stadium was built in 1920, I think, or 1930. So we're forced to think in the confines of that. We have no roof access. We have no, you know, there's lots of things that we just can't do because our stadium's so old that they can do. So I think size, they'll always win no matter what. And I think that that forces us to be a little more creative. And you see that aesthetically, they're usually just going for as big as possible, as bright as possible. That's kind of their thing.
Well, is there any debate within Timber's TIFO committee about, you know, the look? What are you going to do? Hand drawn? Are you going to do paint?
Oh, of course, of course.
How does it work?
I mean, the people that have been doing it for years just kind of throw things at each other and see what sticks. I think that we all trust each other. Like I said, there's so many people involved. I'm just a really small part of the people that get it done.
How many people actually work on the idea and the imagery?
It can be up to like 30. I mean,
The
people that you've got, your kind of idea people that are go-tos. I'd say that's probably like a group of 5 to 10. But we'll take ideas from anywhere. Honestly, like if it's a good idea, we'll roll with it. And I think that's just kind of that's lended itself through the years to when the people that are normally go-tos run into, I mean, everybody has writer's block, whatever, artistic block all the time. Portland's just so full of creative people that you can't go wrong when you're bringing in ideas from everywhere. So
is it done in a room or are you doing it online together?
Yeah, so there's lots of discussion online throughout the season. We have a large meeting at the beginning of every season where we kind of decide who is going to project manage and take over little bits of each project. So at the beginning of the season, we like to have a rough idea of which matches we're going to have large scale displays for. And some of those might be variable if we need to move them through the year if something happens. But for the most part, we like to know who's working what at the beginning of the year, and that way they have months to put an idea together if they need to. We've got people that we trust for ideas. You've got people that we trust to kind of delegate and just, you know, you've got the people that, you know, when you need paint and you need banners and whatever, they'll be there. Those people, you can trust those people to get the materials there. And then you've got people that you can trust for art. So say you were project managing a project for Seattle, you would have a project manager, an artist, and so on down the line. You might have two artists or whatever. So that person would be in charge of taking the idea and actually digitizing it, and then from there that artist and maybe another artist would kind of be in charge of overseeing the tracing too, when you bring in outsiders to kind of trace, and those people would make sure that the image that's in the computer is translating to the fabric.
Is it fun?
Yeah, of course. I think if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. I know that in the lead up, it's so stressful and thinking all the things that could go wrong, because you know that it's going to be ridiculed all over the internet and everywhere if a mistake happens. But I think that at the end, when the players come from the huddle by the bench after the national anthem and you see them break and they're all looking up at the display and kind of taking in the message, then you know that you've succeeded and everything else kind of doesn't matter.
So I imagine like 20, 30 people in a warehouse painting fabric on the ground. What do you listen to? What kind of music?
Everything, really. We listen to lots of like old Brit rock, lots of soul, classic hip hop, things like that. It kind of varies. Whoever is in charge of the iPod at the time will take it over. But I think Portland has really good music sensibility, so whoever's kind of running things, it's always good.
So you brought in a track today to listen to. What is it?
Pioneers by Block Party.
That was Pioneers by Block Party. And you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My name's Joseph Gallivan, and my guest this week is Camden Murray. He's a member of the Timbers Army and one of the regular designers of TIFO, or fan displays, at Portland Timbers Major League Soccer games. What is it about that track that you are interested in? hearing again.
It's one of those tracks that's, it's been in FIFA games. It's been used in those sort of like European soccer videos. I know Bloc Party, I don't think, likes being associated with football, but they are, and they always will be.
FIFA games?
Like, yeah, like the video games. Yeah, okay. I feel like they've had a song in every one since 10 years ago almost.
So Tifo's, you know, getting bigger and bigger in MLS. Just say, who does it in the U.S.?
Everyone does it. It's really a matter of who is doing it to the best of their abilities. Mm-hmm. I think Chicago does a pretty good job. I think the District Ultras in D.C. for mm-hmm. United are probably the best in the league. I know a lot of people in Portland would like to say that we're the best just because of how kind of like our culture translates to the rest of the country. But for the amount of people that they have and the work that they pull off, it's amazing. They're the group in the little far corner on the TV side, and you'll see them pull off these amazing things with just a little tiny group of people. It's really mm-hmm. fun to see.
What kind of stuff?
They're really famous for doing lots of 3D PVC two pole stuff with elongated poles. So you'll see when they played New York, who's one of their big rivals, they did a huge Red Bull with all these spears in it, but the whole thing was three dimensional. And it's just for a small group that they have. I think they might have like 50 to 75 people max. They pull off some amazing stuff.
So these displays are all over the place. I saw one the other night. It was Kansas City, and it was a banner saying, "We're coming after you." And it was like Pac-Man, you know, the yellow thing chasing little blobs. That seemed like a pretty normal, kind of average thing, right? It was a video game reference. It was just the banner. Do you think things like that will only improve? Or
yeah, I think that pop culture is always something that we like to incorporate, and I think that other groups have kind of taken to that too. It's a lot easier to work off things that people are familiar with. I think clubs like Ajax and Amsterdam have done Pac-Man Tifo and things of that nature before for Champions League. And it's cool because you can relate to it. You know, whether you're from America or whatever country, when you see that, if you know Pac-Man, you're going to instantly recognize that. So it doesn't matter if you know anything about Ajax or Kansas City or whatever, you instantly have something to identify with in that display.
So Tifo, you know, really, well, I think of it as coming from Europe, Eastern Europe, Italy. Where is it big and around the world? Just talk about that.
Yeah, all those places. South America is great. Different places are really good at different things. In mm-hmm. South America, you see lots of really good streamer usage, lots of really good confetti usage. Banners are pretty good, are pretty big everywhere because anybody can paint a banner.
And they do the super lightweight big flag type. Yeah, that you pass around a whole stadium.
Right,
some of them are gigantic.
Right, they're famous. Some of them, they cover the entire stand. The thing that's also important to understand is that in some places you'll see Tifo that is directed and paid for by the front office, which might be cards in that. You're seeing it in the NFL now and stuff like that with the cards that they put out. And lots of people will kind of see that as a negative thing because the supporters that put so much effort and work into doing the stuff with their money and the funds that circulate through the supporters, that's the stuff that's really important. So it's kind of important to differentiate between the two. You'll see those all over. But South America is really famous for doing those large flags and stuff by the supporters groups, which is really great. And then Eastern Europe is big with flares, smoke, all that stuff, stuff that you might not see as much of in America just because of fire marshals and things like that.
And Italy?
Oh, yeah. Italy is where I think a lot of people like to say where it started. Italy's groups have been good forever, and now you're kind of seeing a switch in the Germans have kind of taken the crown in some ways. I think cheap tickets play a lot into that. You can get a lot of people that are really passionate about the sport into the stadium, and it's not so much of a rich man's sport in Germany still. It's still the people that are making the Tifo can still afford to get into the stadium, and I think that really plays a big part into it.
Right. Yeah, what was that German one with the tombstones a few months ago at the end of last
Borussia
Champions
Dortmund
League?
Yeah, they're great. They've got they're famous for the yellow wall, which is the largest single tiered stand in I think all of world soccer. So they pack it with all yellow and black. Some people they might just make their own banner. Everybody makes a yellow banner, and you just know, hey, I'm going to show up to the match with my yellow banner. It could say "Hi, Mom" on it. No one really cares as long as everyone has yellow. It just makes this amazing display of fans all the way up this single stand.
Right, and what's the connection between the Timbers Army and other German teams?
There's no direct connection, but I would definitely say if there was a club that we were most alike in terms of mentality and TIFO and all that stuff, it would definitely be FC St. Pauli in Hamburg. They're also kind of a port city, and the cities are very alike. The mentalities between the clubs are very similar. They're anti-fascist, anti-homophobic, anti-racist, all that stuff that's kind of made the Timbers Army famous throughout MLS for being one of those clubs that's not afraid to kind of take a stand. I don't even know if you would say political, but just kind of show the way we feel about letting everyone enjoy the beautiful game. There's no direct connection, but definitely if you're looking for a club in the rest of the world that's kind of that small, the underdog mentality with good TIFO, good fans that will always be there and kind of have the similar mentality that Timbers, it would definitely be St. Pauli in Germany. I mean, they're a second division German side, so it's not like the football is that great, but the fan support and the way that the club runs itself and it's kind of perceived throughout world football is very similar to the Timbers.
So the Timbers, as we're recording this, they have one more home game, and it's the Western Conference final, second leg, November 24th. It's a Sunday night, and you've got to produce a TIFO, right?
We got to work something out.
Well, you've got like it's like 2 weeks and a day since the last home game.
Right.
So is 2 weeks enough to crank something out?
It has to be. So
because normally you plan everything at the beginning of the season, right, so right. People have months.
I'd
to
say
think.
The planning is definitely the part that we'll obviously be behind the eight ball on. The Orco display that we touched on, I think, was put together in maybe 4 days, 3 days, something like that.
From concept to execution.
Right, right. So we're capable of working in that small time frame. It's really just a matter of making sure that we have the materials and all that. I mean, the manpower will be there because you've got people that are always kind of ready to work mm-hmm. at the drop of a hat for the Timbers.
How many of the group would you say are in the arts business, are graphic designers or painters or anything like that?
So the direct people that would do the artwork are artists by trade for the most part. And they also work to do merchandise and all that stuff with the Timbers Army.
Oh, that's right. You make scarves.
Right. And that all wraps back into every penny that we make doing anything goes back into 107 as for charity purposes. So the artists are usually artists by trade. You've got people that might come into paint and stuff that are artists by trade, but everybody else is just kind of people that love the club and just have their, whatever their day job may be. You've got lawyers to, you know, restaurant workers.
Is it open? Like they say, the Timbers Army, anyone could join, just show up. Is it like that, or is it more exclusive?
It's definitely open. It's one of those things where you want to make sure that the people that are involved are trustworthy, because it's one of those things that you don't want the idea and the message to be spread before the actual mm-hmm. game day. You don't want photos or videos or whatever being all over the internet. And I think that as long as you know that they're there for the right reasons and they kind of understand the whole purpose, mm-hmm. then you're fine. And then you don't have anything to worry about.
I mean, it's a secret. I mean, how do you control that? And say you've got 2 weeks to come up with something good. How do you stop people tweeting it or whatever?
It really, the people that are there just know. It's mm-hmm. really a respect thing, I think, that they're being brought in to work on something so that they can have a piece of ownership. I mean, when that banner goes up and you worked on it, whether you painted or helped, you know, sew or whatever, you have this piece of ownership of that. And I think that it makes you feel really good, like you've contributed to the club and the Timbers Army and the city in a way. And so if those people are there for the right reasons, then they're going to understand anyways and respect kind of the art of it.
Right. But the element of surprise is 90% of the
impact. It's definitely important. You definitely, I mean, you get players always asking, they're always interested. You get, you know, front office execs talking about it. I mean, everybody's always excited to see what's coming. And we always try and do something, maybe if it's not bigger, we always try and be more creative, more, you know, funnier, whatever it may be.
What if the owner, Merritt Paulson, said, hey, what's the TIFO on next week? Would you tell him?
So certain things, especially the kind of more risque ones and stuff, we work with the front office to do to make sure. I mean, The people that work with the ops department there are great, and they've worked with us for years to get us clearance for smoke. You know, we do our own rigging, we do our own pulling, things that other clubs would never dream of letting supporters actually do because they might not have the trust in them. But we've got amazing people here that, you know, are certified to do stuff like that and are trustworthy and been doing it for years. So they kind of let us do our thing once they know that we're not going to put up a giant banner with, you know, some obscene imagery on it or whatever. Not that we would anyways, but that's all they're really worried about. So
right. But would you tell the owner just for his own pleasure?
I think Merritt's earned it by this point. He's got the money in the club. I mean, he can know. I think that he's earned the trust to know that he's not going to blab either. You know, he's let us in on some secrets too throughout the years that we've kind of shielded that I think are important. It's important to have that relationship of trust where he can trust the supporters to have his back and we can trust him to have our back and not let the cat out of the bag.
This is Joseph Gallivan on Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week was Camden Murray. He's been talking about what's probably the most exciting form of folk art you'll find in Portland, maybe anywhere. TIFO, which is fan displays at Major League Soccer games. Camden is an artist and he works in a team of about 50 to produce displays. There will be one on the 24th of November at Geldwin Field. So if you get a chance, tune in or get a ticket. Thanks for coming in, Camden.
Thanks for having me.
Every Tuesday night from 10 p.m. to midnight, KBOO brings you the Anjali and the Kid Show with DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid. Post-national bass, folk, and urban sounds that'll knock you upside the head.
It's Anjali and the Kid every Tuesday night on KBOO.